Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Summer is a time of outdoor fun for the entire family, and that often includes the family pet. Some of the best summer memories that I had involved travel and family getting together, like barbecues. Making sure that your summer is a fantastic one and doesn't involve a trip to the veterinary emergency hospital is sometimes as easy as planning ahead and being prepared. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and you're listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. After this short break, we'll be back, and you're going to hear me go on about all sorts of different summer subjects, everything from traveling with your pet to having that barbecue, going to the beach, going hiking, biking, all those things that are just so much fun to do with your dog during the summer. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pick up something unique at a Bone to Pick Dog Boutique. A Bone to Pick has cool hip fashions for big and small dogs that will have their tails wagging in style. Cat products too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Check out our eco-friendly pet products and gifts for humans too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get your pet's mouth watering monthly with our Gourmet Treat of the Month Club and join a Bone to Pick's free birthday club for your puppy. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Pick up something special for your best friend at a Bone to Pick. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get 10% off with coupon code PETLIFE.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hey, all you dog stylists, are you on the cutting edge of canine design and shaggy chic? Groomer Has It on Animal Planet is now casting for Season 2. Groomer Has It is looking for competitive dog stylists with amazing personalities to compete to become Animal Planet's top groomer. $50,000 grand prize for the winner, plus weekly compensation for all contestants during filming. If you have what it takes to be the top groomer, then audition for Groomer Has It today. For more information, contact Catherine at 310-727-3337 extension 71272 or email groomerhasit@gmail.com.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Okay, welcome back. How many of you have ever wanted to go traveling with your dog and pop the dog in the car just to go to the veterinarian? I know they always hate going to see me. Or you decide that you're going to be taking this great trip, put the dog in the car, and it immediately gets carsick and just makes a mess of the entire back seat. Well, there's things that you can do to try and prevent that. Number one, if you can plan ahead, this is the best thing to do. Get your pet used to being in the car. Good way to start is just even put the dog in the car. Don't even start it. Now, you can do this with cats also. It sits in the car, a cat's in its carrier, small dog's in its carrier, a larger dog in the back seat, and I'll tell you why, in the back seat with its harness on, which is attached to the seatbelt. Now the dog just kind of sits there going, huh, or the cat sits in this little carrier going, it's not too bad. I'm in the carrier. Could be worse. The next thing that you can do is to go ahead and to start the car. Now, yes, you either want to do this outside or do it in a garage with windows open, the garage door open. I don't want you to die of carbon monoxide poisoning. But you can sit in the car with the car idling for a while, and the dog or the cat goes, huh, it's not so bad. It's just kind of like this whole body massage going back and forth, then we're not moving, so okay, I can handle this. The next trip is going to be a small trip. Again, cat and dog in a carrier, dog in the back, harness on, attached to the seatbelt. And the reason for that is pets in the front seat. All of a sudden you are in an accident, you have to slam on the brakes and those airbags go off. We know that it can save your life. But if it's a small dog or even a larger dog in the front seat, that can have dire consequences. Safest thing, keep in the back. Even if your dog loves, like that little dog loves to be in your lap with its head out the window and its ears flapping away, which really looks cute, that can be very dangerous. Number one, they can get in the way of your driving. Number two, things can get in their eyes. Or three, which sounds terrible, all of a sudden they see that dog across the street. They see the kitty on the porch, whatever. Now your dog jumps out of the car window and we don't need a lot of imagination to figure out what may happen. Yes, don't want to do that. So back seat's the safest. Now with that dog, that cat, that's gotten used to being in the car with it idling, then going back and forth just up and down your street maybe. Your neighbors may think you're a bit crazy going, what are they doing? Back and forth and back and forth. You're getting your dog, cat used to that car ride and that motion. Great idea to have them travel on an empty tummy. Now if you're finding even this isn't doing it, they get that nice green cat and upset tummy look. There are medications that your veterinarian can give. Some that are an injectable, some that are a pill that you can give several hours to travel that can just help settle their stomach. Not a good idea just to try to pick up things like Bonine, Dramamine and give those, or even Benadryl. If you ever want to give a medication, no matter what it is, ask your veterinarian first. It's always going to be the best thing. Now, I had a little dog, Juanita, and she loved to travel, but you couldn't see outside. And finding that it's like you and I traveling, if you're on a boat, for instance, and you start getting a little bit of that seasickness, what are you going to do? The best thing is to be on top of the deck, looking out at the horizon. The reason why so frequently we, as well as our pets, get motion sickness is that there's little bones in the middle portion of your ear. They're called ossicles, and they're kind of like little gyroscopes. They tell your body what's up, down, and sideways. Well, when you start getting motion sickness, they get all thrown off, and they have no idea where your body is in regard to space. So if your dog or you can look out at the horizon, it's like, okay, I think I can do this. What I found for Juanita, they have these little booster seats that you can purchase. It raises that pet up so they can sit up, look out that window. They're still connected to the seatbelt, and the seatbelt holds that little booster seat into position also. So you typically find your pet's going to be much more comfortable. Now, if you're going to be traveling around during the summer, and in some parts of the United States, even into fall, it's still really hot. The best idea is just a short little trip to the grocery store, or you're going to be running some errands. Leave your pet at home, because it never seems to fail. You were just going to go into the store for a short little errand, pick up something, and run right back out again. Well, all of a sudden you get distracted. Things happen, and now you're in there for an extended period of time. Within a short period of time, even with the windows down, even being in the shade, a car can get to be the temperature of a hot oven. that can cook your pet, literally. So really be very, very careful. If you're going to be traveling cross-country or taking a long car trip with your pet, whenever possible, travel during the cooler part of the day. If you have to travel during the day, have the air conditioner on. If your air conditioner is getting overstressed and your pet's hot in that back seat, not getting enough airflow, you can, in their little water bowl, for instance, put ice chips. Those ice chips are just a great way of wetting the whistle, which I think I need some right now myself. It's also, you can get yourself like a bottle, a plastic jug, fill it with water, freeze it the night before. So during the day when you're traveling, you can put that frozen water bottle into the cat or dog's carrier. Now they can snuggle up to it and get cool. There are also little fans that are battery powered that you can put on the outside of kennels, so it just keeps the airflow going. Though your cat or dog probably would not totally appreciate it, you can also travel with a little spray bottle like you'd be spraying your plants with that Windex comes in. Of course, no Windex. You just want to have plain water. And you can douse your pet all over with that cool water. Now, as that water evaporates, it's going to be taking some of the body heat with it. And that'll help to keep it cool. So try all those things. Whenever you're traveling with your pet, I don't care if it's going to be in the car or if it's going to be on a plane, make sure you take a copy of the pet's medical records with you. Sometimes things happen when you're out of town and you need to know what vaccines it's been given because you want to board the pet or what medical issues it's had. You know it's allergic to that little green pill. And what is that little green pill? If you have the medical records, it will help. Also, having a photo of the pet. Sometimes disasters happen. You stop at a rest stop, you let the pet out, and all of a sudden, it escapes. It gets out of its collar, it scoots off, something happens. How are you going to identify the pet? You can only be there for so long, and you need to take off. If you have a photo of the pet, that can always help reunite you. And speaking of pets taking off, making sure that your pet, cat or dog, at all times, even if you're not traveling, it's just in the home, has identification collars on. So many people now, thankfully, have microchips in their pets, and those are wonderful. But keep in mind, microchips will not act like a LoJack system. You can't cruise a neighborhood looking for that dog or cat of yours. But if it is picked up and goes to a shelter, goes to an emergency clinic, goes to a veterinary hospital, it can be scanned. Each chip has its own unique digits and numbers, so they'll be able to call a special registry, find out who you are, and get the pet back to you. Now, it can be a little bit of a long process, so having a collar with a name tag on is perfect because somebody now can find that pet, see the name tag, give you a call. If you're traveling, whenever possible, put your name and number at home and the name and number of where you're going to be going to. So instead of calling home and you're not there, they'll be able to call your destination and then you'll be able to get the pet much more readily. So that's a good thing to do. Okay, so we've talked about traveling in a car. How about traveling by air? People are doing it all the time now with their pets. If you're going to be traveling with your pet, try and do it especially during the summer season or when it's warm. Try to do it during the cooler portion of the day. It's just so much easier for your pet, especially if it's going to be going into the hull of the airplane. Though it is typically pressurized and air conditioned, it's only within reason. And there have been times we've all been stuck on a tarmac for an extended period of time. And what do they do in the plane? They turn off the air conditioner. So what are they going to be doing in the cargo hull? Yes, they turn off the air conditioner down there too. Pets can get very, very hot. And yes, those dire circumstances will sometimes happen. A dead dog, a dead cat. So travel during the cooler portions of the day. The other thing that you can do is always try to make sure that you have a direct flight, to have minimal layovers, if at all. That's just a great way for us to lose our luggage and a great way to lose your pet. There are times when it's also necessary to be one of those flyers, and I mean those flyers, when your pet is going to be taken away from you and it's going to be in the cargo hull. You'll always want to ask for written confirmation that your pet is on that flight. And if they try and tell you, oh, don't worry, we're really going to be very careful. We'll make sure that pet is on board. Say, hi, I really would like to have written confirmation. Excuse me, may I speak to your supervisor? And just say, yes, I know I'm being a pain, but
I would like to have written confirmation. It can be on a Kleenex. It can be on toilet paper. You just want to have written confirmation your pet's on that plane. You don't want to end up in Chicago and your pet end up in Florida because, oops, it made the wrong plane. So you'll always want to ask for confirmation, especially if you're going to be having a layover and changing planes. What are the alternatives? Putting the pet with you into the passenger compartment. Now, they will typically only allow so many pets, and you have to make sure that the carrier is small enough that it fits under the seat. Now, there are those pets like Lassie who typically fly first class and have their own seat, or service dogs will oftentimes be allowed to go in the passenger compartment without being in a carrier. But otherwise, us mortal folks with cats and dogs, it needs to be small enough to fit into a carrier. You want to make sure that the pet is comfortable enough that they can stand up and turn around. It's not going to be spacious. They're not going to have a great time, but this way you know your pet's with you and you know that you can tend to it. A lot of people want to tranquilize their pets when they're going to be traveling. I really try to counsel people not to do this because many of the tranquilizers can literally drop your blood pressure. Just think of you and I. You have a drink here on the ground. Okay, you might be a little bit tipsy after that one glass of wine or that one beer. But up in the air with the change of pressure, the cabin pressure, you'll find that that same drink typically, woo, makes you super groggy and just really feels the effect of the alcohol. Well, the same thing can happen when you're giving your pet tranquilizers. It can drop their blood pressure, and sometimes it can drop it dangerously low. Now, for you or I, if we're having medical issues, they will typically try to land and protect our health. However, if it's your cat or dog that's having issues, believe me, they're not going to put that plane down to take care of an animal. If you're going to be traveling with your pet, you'd think that maybe giving a tranquilizer will help calm it down. I've traveled with cats, and believe me, these kitties will cry and be just kind of dopey because of the tranquilizers and still caterwaul. So tranquilizing them will not stop the caterwauling. I'll usually tell people, bring some extra money with you, because just in case your pet is being a bit on the obnoxious side, you can buy a drink for everyone that's around you, and that usually seems to make them your friends. And I find that most cats and dogs, when they're traveling in the passenger compartment, typically are better than that two-year-old in the seat behind you. They just tend to settle on down, take life easy, and go, oh yeah, this is boring, go to sleep. It'll be over hopefully sooner than later. A suggestion that I have when you're traveling with your pet on board, if it has to poop or pee, nature calls, man, what are you going to do? Instead of putting a blanket in the carrier, go ahead and put shredded newspaper. If you have a dark pet, you'll never see that newsprint. If you have a lighter color pet, you can buy newsprint that's unprinted, and you can shred that. Put it on the bottom of the carrier on top of the plastic bag. So now in case it does have to poop or pee, it'll get balled up in that poop, make poop mache. Now instead of having it on a blankie and now having that bodily discharge all over your pet, and though you love it dearly, having to travel around with a pet that has stuff all over it is not the nicest. The other little trick that you can do after you have the shredded paper and the pet heeds the call of nature, you, the pet, and the carrier go back to the bathroom, lock the door, take the pet out of the carrier. You've already come with an extra bag of shredded newspaper. You take the poop and pee, and put it in that plastic bag, throw it in the trash. You have a replacement bag, put that back in. The pet goes back in the carrier. You exit. Life is good. So much easier. Also make sure when you're going through, backing up a little bit before you get on the plane, going through security. Security will not allow you to put the pet, and you don't want to, through the x-ray machine. So what are you going to have to do? You need to take your pet out of the carrier. Now, if it's a dog, most dogs are pretty good and will just stay in your arms. And if it's a cat, cats are going to go, exit, stage left. Which is not a good idea if you're in the middle of the airport. So always make sure your cat or dog is wearing a nice, tightly fitting harness, not so tight that they cannot breathe, but tight enough that the pet out of the carrier in your arms can go through the x-ray machine, through the wanding station, and it's not going to be able to get away from you, and you can pop it right back into that carrier. So do that. It really, really helps. Okay. So we've talked about traveling by car and traveling by air. After this short break, we'll be right back and we'll be talking about doing some of the fun things like going camping, going to the beach, and having that barbecue. We'll be right back after this short message. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Got a cool cat. Got a cool cat. Got a cool cat.
Do you have a cool cat in the house?
Well, of course I do.
Got a camera? Then take a quick pic of your cool cat and enter the Pet Life Radio Cool Cat Contest. Pet Life Radio is partnering with Morris and Nine Lives to give you the chance to win a really cool cat care kit. Get a Nine Lives Play and Scratch Play Post, Nine Lives Woolly Cat Bed, Nine Lives Food Bowl, Morris Play Spinners, and much, much more. You'll also get an autographed copy of pet edutainer Arden Moore's new book, Happy Cat, Happy You.
That.
Everybody gets a chance to vote, and the top five coolest cats win an awesome cool cat care kit from Pet Life Radio and Nine Lives. To enter, just go to the PetLifeRadio.com website or CoolCatContest.com.
Fluff your feathers, roll out your tongue, shine your fins, snap on your leashes, and grab your human. It's the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo. Two full days of pet-tastic fun that no pet lover should miss. Join us for shopping, the Barks and Couture Fashion Show, Dream Pet Wedding, Ultimate Pet Makeover, Pet Communicator, Rescue Me Pet Adoption, Service Dog Demonstration, and tons of fun contests. Bring your pets and join us at the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo, Saturday, September 27th, and Sunday, September 28th at the Kentucky Expo Center. For more information, go to LouisvillePetExpo.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Okay, so you're having a great time during the summer. You want to have that backyard barbecue. Barbecues can be a blast, but barbecues can also really pose some really serious problems for your pet. You're going to have hot things around, and dogs go, it smells so good. I can smell that steak. Let me put my paws up on the side of this barbecue. Not a good idea. So if there's a lot of people around and your pet gets scared easily, you may just want to have the pet hang out in the back bedroom, someplace with a sign on the door saying, scared puppy inside, please don't enter. If there's young children around, sometimes you need to lock the door so they don't accidentally go in there. The other thing that you can do if you're having a barbecue is to make sure that the leftovers are going to be put away someplace safely. You think you've just bagged everything up. You're tired. You've had a great time. You know, people are over for a couple of hours. Oh, you have all those wonderful leftovers. Throw it in a plastic bag. Tie it up. Put it next to the trash can. You wake up in the morning. Dog doesn't feel good. You look in the backyard and here is trash strewn everywhere all over the backyard. Well, what did you have in there? You had some wonderful leftover fat from the steak. You had maybe some charcoal briquettes that had cooled down but have all that wonderful meat drippings on it. How about corn on the cob? Oh, that tastes so good. Dogs love eating corn on the cob, all the butter and everything else. Well, all of these things can really cause horrible abdominal upset. Upset stomach is bad enough in the heartbreak of diarrhea, but other things can happen. So first of all, it eats that corn on the cob. You think it has an upset stomach? Not really sure if it ate the corn on the cob. You didn't see it. Taking the pet to the veterinarian because vomiting, diarrhea, pet looks lousy. Take some x-rays. Wow, looks like there's a stomach upset, because what would I see as a veterinarian looking at an x-ray of a dog that got into trash? Sometimes you can see radiodense foreign material. Radiodense is a nice way of saying something that shows up on x-rays. And that can be rocks, bolts, pennies. Oh, that barbecue skewer that you threw away because it was bent. Dogs, believe it or not, will eat horrible things like that. Steak knives. You threw it away or you just left it outside. You meant to clean it up. Dogs will eat things like that, and you take an x-ray, and there it is, knowing you have to go back in and go after that. Then they can also eat radiolucent objects. Radiolucent can be plastic. It can be that corn on the cob. It can be cloth. Maybe it was a napkin that had some beef juices on it or something that made it seem very interesting to the dog. And dogs, much more so than cats, will eat first, think later. For whatever reason, they thought it was a good thing to eat. So now those objects are caught in the dog's intestinal tract. Sometimes they will pass, and we're very fortunate. Your pet's very fortunate that will happen, but oftentimes it will not. And by the time you realize there's a medical issue, get the pet in, that foreign material, whatever it is, can cause damage to the intestines. It can perforate or cut through the intestines. It can kill your dog. So be very, very careful about having things outside that your pet may get into. Even in the house, had a dog about a week or so ago that came in, and the night before they were making some bread, the dog ate rising bread dough. You go, that's a dumb dog. You know, it smelled good. What problem could that cause? Well, as the bread is fermenting, if a dog were to eat enough of this bread dough, it continues to ferment inside the dog's intestinal tract. Basically, the bread continues to grow. The dog becomes bloated. Gas is giving off by the yeast that's causing the bread to rise. But the yeast, besides giving off gas, is also giving off alcohol. So this particular dog came in looking like it had had the worst drunk possible. It basically had alcohol intoxication. It can be very dangerous. This little dog had to be in the hospital for about 3 days on aggressive intravenous fluid therapy. There is no antidote for this. At the time that the pet was presented, it was too late to pump the dog's stomach. And if you've ever worked with bread dough, you know, mixing that with water, it really becomes a mess. Trying to get that out of a dog's intestinal tract is extremely difficult. This dog did end up okay, but there's just one more thing that you have to think about that your dog could get into. Okay, so we've had a barbecue at home. How about taking the dog down to the beach? That is just a blast to take the dog down there. Some dogs can swim. Pugs, for instance, are not good swimmers, so not all dogs can swim. And though the dog may be a good swimmer, you may have a dog who's gotten older, gets weak, a dog that gets caught in an undertow, just like you and I could get caught in an undertow, and that can be very, very dangerous. So if you're going to be playing out in the water, they do make life preservers and they do make safety jackets for dogs. So you can get these little buoyancy jackets for your dog, and though they might look a little bit silly, it's a great way to make sure that your dog does not drown. Going down to the beach, I live here in Southern California, and when I had my black lab, he loved going down there. And of course, you and I never want to ingest salt water because, ugh, just does horrible things to your intestinal tract. Dog doesn't know any better. It's out there, it's chasing ball, it swallows some water. Believe me, that water can cause problems on both ends of your dog. Vomiting is very common, and just blowout diarrhea because of all of that very, very salty water. So you think your dog is having a great time at the beach. You come back and both ends can just really be detrimental. So watch the dog down to the beach for soaking up all that salt water. The other thing is dogs can get sunstroke. They can get sunburn. Cats can even get this too. Most kitties and dogs are smart enough to stay out of the sun. But if, for instance, you have a dog in the backyard or a cat in the backyard, someplace where it cannot get out of the sun, it can get sunburn, it can get sunstroke. And what would you notice if a dog were to have sunstroke? Look at their mucous membranes, their gums, and instead of being nice and pink, they can be a very deep brick red color. Your pet may be panting excessively, have a lot of ropey saliva, taking its temperature. Temperature, the best way to do it, you can't really just feel their ears or feel their nose. It's not a very specific way of doing it. It's not very accurate. You want to get a thermometer. That is theirs. Stick it in their bum. A normal dog temperature and a cat temperature is 101 to 102.5. They can get as high as 105, 106. That can lead to irreversible brain damage. So if you think your pet's getting a little bit overheated, don't expect the pet to say, "Excuse me, can I stop now?" They're going to want to keep playing. They're going to want to keep moving because you're doing it, so they want to do it too. It's fun chasing that ball. It's fun playing in the water. So if you notice your pet seems a little bit hot, stop, give it some cool water. Putting cool, not cold water over their paws, over their body can help drop their body temperature. But if they're looking like they're really having some difficulty, get your pet into the veterinarian because it may need some aggressive medical care to help them out. Okay, we've been playing with the dog at the home, at the barbecue, down at the beach. What if you just want to go for that ride around the block? Where I live, we've had some pretty hot weather, and I was noticing one of my neighbors has a black dog who was out during the hot part of the day. Well, this kid is on his bicycle, having a great time, and the dog is chasing behind them. I was watching this dog and finally thought, nope, I have to step in because the dog started running a little bit more slowly after this kid on the bike. Tongue was hanging out a little bit further and the dog just looked wasted. Said, "Excuse me, I hate to bother you, but this is not a good idea because the asphalt's really hot. Your dog is overheating. It's black. It needs to stop." Because kid said, "How do you know it's too hot?" I said, "Okay, take off your shoes, stand on the asphalt. If you can stand there comfortably, so can your dog." And he took his shoes off just to prove me that I was wrong, stood on that asphalt, and it took about 2 seconds for him to start jumping around like he's on hot coals. Looked at the bottom of the dog's paws, and sure enough, he was getting blisters. So I felt badly. I should have stepped in sooner. But you being your pet owner, you need to be aware of what environmental factors can detrimentally affect your dog. So be a little smarter than your dog. Dog will want to keep pleasing you, keep playing. So stop, look, think ahead, see if this is going to be a safe thing for your pet. Thunderstorms. We don't have a lot of them here in Southern California, but depending on where you live, they can just be nasty. A lot of dogs are afraid of thunderstorms. And kind of like 4th of July, this booming that's going off someplace. If you know that your dog is afraid of thunderstorms, it happened last year, the dog became panicked. There are medications that your veterinarian can give. You'll want to give this before you know that thunderstorms are going to happen. That's not always possible, but you can actually try to desensitize your dog to thunderstorms. There are a lot of different sound effect records that you can purchase, tapes that you can purchase, and while your pet is with you in the nice, safe home environment, you can turn this on your audio system at just a low enough level that your pet's listening to it going, "Huh, that's not so bad. There's kind of a noise back there, but it's not bothering me." Little by little, as your pet seems to be tolerating one volume, make it a little bit louder. Make it a little bit louder until finally it's so loud your neighbors are pounding on your door going, "What's going on?" But this helps to desensitize your pet to these sounds. That's probably one of the best things that you can do. One of the things I love to do during the summer season is gardening. Going outside in the garden, working in the gardening, and sometimes in that garden, you know that you need to give those plants a little bit of extra food. Well, one of the foods can be cow manure. It can be various types of fertilizers. And dogs and cats love stinky things. Well, this is pretty stinky. So just rolling in it is bad enough. You have to give the pet a bath. But sometimes they'll eat it. And eating these products can be toxic, or if nothing else, it can really upset their stomachs. So you want to make sure that you're reading labels whenever in question. Call your veterinarian to see whether or not this can be a problem. If you look at the labels of most of these products, it'll also give you an 800 number that you can call, and you may want to call this before you put it out and have a problem saying, okay, I got a dog and a cat and I want to put this in the backyard. What are some safety precautions that I have to use? During the summer and you're trying to protect all your wonderful plants and those snails are out there and eating everything up, just drives you up the wall. What are you going to do? Well, there are a lot of different snail baits that are out there. And you put the snail bait out, and yes, it kills those snails nice and dead. But snail bait, the typical metaldehyde type of snail bait, the way that they produce it, it is very sweet to dogs and cats. And this is, again, more something that a dog will get into. So you think that you're putting it safely around the plants, you know, kind of in the back, an area that your dog never gets into. And now you find your dog kind of staggering, vomiting, diarrhea, looking just under the weather and trying to figure out what could have gotten into this. It may be that metaldehyde snail bait. There are medications that can be given to control the signs. No antidote, and this usually requires a pet to be hospitalized for a few days. It can cause irreversible liver damage. So there's a nice safe thing that you can do, and you can have a good time in the process. Try some beer. You can get yourself a pie plate, so you're going to have pie and beer, a little bit of a weird combination. Maybe you want to have milk with your pie instead, but have one of those metal pie plates without the holes in the bottom. Okay, you finished your pie, you've rinsed out the pie plate. Dig a little depression in your yard in those areas where you know the snails love to congregate. It's usually a fairly dark, moist area. So you've dug this little depression, you put your pie plate in that spot. Now you're going to have some of that beer. Leave a little behind and pour it in the bottom of that pie plate. Now the snails come along, they crawl in, they die a happy death drinking that beer. And if your dog goes along and eats some of those snails, well, it's just kind of marinated escargot. It's not going to be a problem for them. Enough snails can irritate the stomach, but most of the time it's just going to be a matter of, okay, no big deal. So at all times, make sure that your cat or dog always have identification, especially if you're going to take your pet traveling with you, because pets can get away from you. Earthquakes, fires, floods, thunderstorms, hurricanes, all these things can happen and can cause your totally indoor backyard pet to now be out and about and get away from you. Always make sure that your pet's going to have water and shade. Know what kind of stinky stuff your pet may be getting into when you're going for hiking and biking with it. Some of those things can cause problems. So instead of trying to take it off with nail polish remover, gasoline, other things like this, and I know that sounds crazy, people will do it. Nice soap and water, peanut butter sometimes worked through the coat can get those sticky, ucky things off of your pet's coat. When in doubt, call your veterinarian. So summer should be just a great time for you and your pet. And because your pet wants to please you, sometimes will push themselves a little bit too hard. So to make sure that your entire summer vacation, your summer fun, stays fun for you and your pet, think ahead. When in question, call your vet. And if you also have questions, you can email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com, and I'll try to answer your questions via email and also on the air. So I hope the show today has entertained you, educated you, and motivated you to be the best pet owner you can be. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and this is Pet Life Radio. Have a great summer. Take care. Tune back in next week. We'll have some more information for you and your pet.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.